hang in there. It is.
Smiley Kaufman for 61. Wow.
I'm Smiley Kaufman, and this is The Smiley Show.
Welcome back to a major championship recap journal edition of The Smiley Show. Smiley, we do this from time to time when we're on site. We try to evaluate the standing of our set against what we've done in the past. I don't know how this is. If this isn't one, it's top two. We are just short of the 18th green here at Quail Hollow, the end of the famous green mile here. This is pretty darn good as far as sets go.
Not a bad spot to just kind of be here, Quail Hollow on site. And giving you a little bit of a background here. It's been a good day out here. Maybe one that we didn't expect, and we're not talking about weather. We're talking about leaderboard that's a little interesting.
About mud balls.
I mean, seriously, coming into this whole PGA Championship, I think we've all been wired that the leaderboard was only going to be one way. And the fact that it's a different way, and not only a different way, basically a backwards leaderboard of anything we've seen all year. I mean, how do you feel about this?
It is an opposite day leaderboard. It is exactly, I could not have been more wrong coming into this, which is fitting given the rest of my one and done picks this year. But basically, we had all these names we thought would be near the top, and none of them are there. And in some ways, I think that keeps it open, right? I mean, not to say that these guys couldn't hold their lead or take it deeper, but given the lack of experience, major championship experience at the top of the board,
yeah.
I think that leaves room for a lot of these more proven guys to work their way back into it.
Pardon us for ruling out 140 players before the week started, but that's kind of where we were sitting. And we weren't the only ones that felt like Quail Hollow was going to play only to a certain guys. But you got to remember, these guys, doesn't matter where they play. If there's an opportunity to make some birdies, these guys are good enough to do it, and that's what the leaderboard's shown today.
We have to, first of all, thank the good people at the PGA of America on the partnerships team for setting us up right here at the 18th at Quail Hollow.
Tip
of the cap to them. And we also have to thank our friends at Magic Mind. And Smiley, as I promised you at our preview show, I've got goodies. I brought goodies all week long. Today, we're indulging in the Magic Mind Mental Performance Gummies. Clear focus, calm mind, less stress. So here's what you do. You eat three of these, okay?
Three.
You take three of these bad boys down. It's a green
What's
apple
the flavor?
Flavor? Green apple.
Okay.
So I'm going to, I don't know if you guys want ASMR of me chewing these gummies. I'm going to set the mic down. Sorry to the podcast audience, but we got to get our minds right. Okay, here we go. Actually, I'll narrate as you eat, then you narrate as I eat. Did you get three there? That feels right.
All right.
Okay, Smiley's taking him down that.
One bite, everybody knows the rules.
Yep, there he is. There he is. Chew next to the mic if you can, Smiley. I'm going to eat mine now.
Sure. Maybe this will help our, you know, just our feelings about what's going to happen the rest of this golf tournament, you know?
I think so.
What do you think?
I love gummies. Since I was a kid. You know who also loves gummies? Anna Carter right now. Big fan of the gummies.
Gummies are multi-generational at this stage.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. This is. I'll have to tell you about this off camera, but Jackson and I made a stop at the gas station the other night.
Mm-hmm.
They're selling like giant bags of Gushers now. At gas stations. It was bliss.
What a treat to get those as a kid.
Pure, pure bliss.
Yeah.
Yeah, those were good, and even more than it's like 40 in a bag. Magic Mind gummies, though. This is. I've been telling you about this. This is, I do my performance shot in the morning, sleep at night, but middle of the day, eat some of these, or before you're recording a PGA Championship recap journal.
Yeah, thank you,
Take
Magic Mind.
Down.
All right, I'll keep you posted on,
okay.
you on what comes to me during the middle of this.
Your mind's feeling like magic. MagicMind.com. You can check them out there. Here is where we have to start, and I'm gonna,
where do we have to start? Because I'm curious where you're going.
Well, first of all, we have to thank another partner of ours, DraftKings. We're going to tell you at the end of this episode how to get some bonus bets via using a code of ours on DraftKings, and we're going to read you some of the odds for the changing odds board, given the reshuffle the names at the top. But the place that was the headline of the day, at least in my opinion, and most of golf Twitter, golf media out there, mud balls. Okay, and so I'm going to read you first a quote from Scottie Scheffler following his round, I'd like to hear your reaction to that, and then we're going to go to Xander Schauffele after that. So this is a long quote from Scottie. He said, "I think when you're looking at the purest forms of golf, if you're going to go play links golf, there's absolutely no reason on a links golf course you should play the ball up. It doesn't matter how much rain they get. The course could be flooded underwater and the ball is still going to bounce somehow because of the way the turf is and the ground underneath the turf. In American golf, it's significantly different when you have overseeded fairways that are not sand capped There's going to be a lot of mud on the ball, and that's just part of it. When you think about the purest test of golf, I don't personally think that hitting the ball in the middle of the fairway you should get punished for. On a golf course as good of condition as this one is, speaking of Quail Hollow, this is probably a situation in which it would be the least likely difference in playing it up, because most of the lies you get out here are all really good. So I understand how a golf purist would be, oh, play it as it lies, but I don't think they understand what it's like literally working your entire life to learn how to hit a golf ball and control it and hit shots and control distance, and all of a sudden, due to a rules decision that is completely taken away from us by chance. What are your reflections on that comment, specifically what he's talking about in terms of why this golf course playing preferred lies really wouldn't make a ton of difference?
Well, I want to see how many fairways that Scottie Scheffler hit today. That's be the first place I start. He hit 10 out of 14 fairways, which is a really solid number for a player that driving distance wise, he's, you know, in the, you know, the top 10, 15% of distance off the tee. So I'd be frustrated too. I mean, he still shot 200. He's not out of this golf tournament by any means. He's actually in a great spot. Three currently, or I guess, is Cam Davis, is he at six?
Cam is at five. Ryan Gerard posted five.
Well,
he's three shots off the lead. And he, by the way, while you're talking, I believe he's at the shortest odds on DraftKings Sportsbook. Last I checked, I think he was like plus 320. It's three shots off the lead. So I think
it's gone down. I would say that if
this plus 330, I'm sorry.
If this was a PGA Tour event today, they would have played it up. I say that, like, you're not supposed to necessarily play it up for mud balls, but the PGA Tour is really good about listening to the players and kind of just protecting themselves against the conversation being around mud balls. And I think the storyline today, besides the leaderboard being interesting and different, is you know, the conditions in which they played on this golf course. And I think that takes away from the event. I wish the conversations more so today would just be about, okay, the best players in the world and all the players in the top 10, top 20 didn't play great. Now, unfortunately, the conversation is, oh, the top 20 in the world didn't play well because of this, which, fair or not fair, everybody played, well, I guess it's hard to say because, you know, a player that maybe hits it in the fairway more times could have more mud balls. A player that hits in the rough maybe had less. And you can maybe make the comparison that oh, everybody had the same mud balls. Well, mud balls are, they're varying in difference in when you get them and when you don't. For instance, let's say the 16th hole, when you hit it in that fairway with the mud ball, that's a disadvantage because the ball is in the air a long time. It's a much longer club. But if you have a mud ball on a shorter hole, which there are not many short holes out here, but that's where, you know, it's like where, when you miss the fairways and when you have them.
Or even like where the mud ends where up the mud on the ball.
Exactly.
And Xander spoke to that in his post-round press conference, which he was basically saying the ones where you get lucky where it's just on top and you're trying to guess how much spin it's going to scrub off and flight it down, whereas the ones, and I think if you were putting together the highlight reel of mud balls today, you'd start with Xander and Scotty's approaches at 16 where they have mud on the right side of the ball and hit what looks like a boomerang into the water left of 16.
You could tell that instantly was a mud ball.
And before we get to Xander's comments, I think the thing that unlocked something in my brain for me was Scotty describing.
What unlocked it?
Well, it could have been the Magic Mind gummies. It could have been the Magic Mind performance shot that was still working there this morning, and then reading Scotty's comments and having this revelation. But I think just the talking about the golf course itself, like so often we just talk about just the weather conditions of you know, making the decisions to whether or not you're going to play the ball up. But I think his point here is this specific type of course and the conditions it's normally in, the difference not being that great, that to me is a compelling argument to play the ball up when it's rained like this, no matter whether or not it's a PGA Tour event or a major championship event. And that was interesting to me.
Well, outside of, you know, them playing it up just on approach shots, the other part where I think this is where the conversation becomes, is it a distinct advantage, is around the greens? That's where I think a lot of players would say, oh, that guy can't chip. And that's where it's an advantage for a player that's missing greens and getting up and down. And two, players that are having really good days, I would say that it's, you know, a whole lot easier when you have ball in hand around the greens versus when that ball's sitting down with in a shakier lie. So I can understand arguments both ways on it, but coming from a player that has played on the PGA Tour, this is something that frustrated, you know, not only like me, I hated getting mud balls. Nobody likes getting mud balls, but this was a common theme of every player. Nobody would ever be a fan of, yeah, let's play it up, you know, on a day in which you know you're going to be getting mud balls.
The other comment I want to read to you, and this is the last mud ball topic I'll give you before we move on to the leaderboard itself, is from Xander, just playing it forward a little bit. He said, the mud balls are going to get worse. They're going to get in that perfect cake zone
exactly.
to where it's kind it of muddy underneath.
Better. And then you'd almost would rather rain way again. Through.
I mean, you just keep, I don't know, maybe you hit it a little bit lower off the tee, but then unfortunately the problem with hitting it low off the tee is the ball doesn't carry or roll anywhere, so then you sacrifice distance. It's a bit of a crapshoot. Can you just describe what he's talking about, that sort of cakey mud, and how that makes it that much harder for people who don't understand that at a tour level?
It's it's almost like when you get sore, like, you know, like when you have like a surgery or something, where that next day it doesn't necessarily feel that bad, but then the following day after that,
it's brutal.
You're like, wow, I can't
believe Jackson has wisdom teeth.
Exactly.
It's topical, yeah.
That's a maybe not the perfect example, but when it comes to fairways and heavy rains, really, you know, if they would have played, you know, yesterday when it was really, really damp, the ball is skipping a little bit more, and you're playing
kind of
more
it as it's rolling.
The
right?
ball's yeah. much more wet than it is caking with mud. But when they got the mowers on them, which apparently they mowed them last night, that grass gets a little tighter, and the soil is so much more. I'm not like the best guy to explain all this, but you would think that
it makes sense though.
Damp soil, it's going to be definitely caking up golf balls, and it just gets worse the more they cut these things. They just got to continue to dry out, and I don't think they're going to dry out.
I don't know that they will, but I also be interested to see is there any movement from the PGA of America side, given the feedback from these guys. I mean, obviously, I don't think they expect there to be a rule change, but I do think that was maybe part of the line of thinking, lobbying for it with their comments in the post round press conference. Let's talk about this leaderboard a little bit. We got our friends at Elias Sports Bureau, Randy Robles. He hooks us up with stats all the time. It's good to see him in person today at Quail Hollow. We're just looking at this leaderboard and looking in the past 20 years at major winners that came from outside the top 50 of the world. And the last two occurrences have both been the PGA Championship. Phil Mickelson in 2021 was 115th in the world when he won at Kiawah. Prior to that, it was Keegan Bradley in 2011 at Atlanta Athletic Club. He was 108th in the world entering that week. Do you think there's anything to the makeup of this field and it being the most competitive, deep, you know, major field of sorts where this is lends itself to a long shot winner? Like I'm trying to think of as to whether that makes sense or whether you'd expect, because it's the most competitive field, to have more top heavy guys making a run at it. But it's just interesting, the phenomenon of this is the championship seems where a guy can come from a long shot and win.
Well, let's just think about the Wells Fargo. Has there been
some long shot winners?
Has there been some long shot winners at the Wells Fargo? There definitely has been. And the one, especially when they had lost the greens that one year.
Yeah.
God, who was the guy that won that year?
Oh, man. I have to go back and look.
I keep on thinking Austin Eckroat in my head. I know it's not Austin Eckroat, but it's in a – gosh, that's going to kill me. Anyways.
You keep going. I'm going to pull it.
You know, Ricky got his first big win here. He had been trying to get that dub, and that was a big win for him, going up against Roars.
James Hahn or Derek Ernst?
It's Derek Ernst.
Yeah.
James Hahn. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's another one. Yeah, you got some long shots here.
Well, and it's hard to say, too, because it's not comparing apples to apples, because you weren't necessarily getting a PGA Championship. Every top PGA Tour player was playing here. You had a good mix of bag, because a lot of players enjoy playing here. But does it lend itself to that? Hard to say, you know. You wouldn't think so. You would think this would be a big ballpark catered towards the top players that are tee to green. But when I look at the first page of this leaderboard, and when I especially look at the stats, the thing that sticks out to me is that when you look at the players at the top, normally you would go and see like, all right, what category is really like the most important? And off the tee, I'm just sitting here looking in the top 10. There's only one person that's in the top 20 in the off the tee stat, which typically you would have said leading into this week, that would have been important. But really what I see,
Gerardo's ball strike today.
It's all putting. It's putting.
Wow.
I mean, to me, it's the putting in the iron game right now. It's kind of showing out.
Well, and do you think that the putting stat indicates more of guys needing to kind of get up and down after missing greens with mud balls and just, you know, kind of getting, depending on, because I thought it was interesting. Luke Donald talking to Marty Smith after his round said that he didn't hit a ton of greens today. I think he might have only hit 9 greens today in regulation.
Who?
But Luke Donald.
Yeah.
But that his misses were on the correct side.
Played smart. No bogeys.
Yeah. And so maybe that putting stat reflects, you know, getting up and down, making some mid-range.
Nine greens, man. He was 9 of 9 scrambling.
I mean, that's one way to get it done. He's at 4 under.
But I think it's just a little bit opposite of maybe what we were expecting. And I think the reasoning or why the scores are the way they are, when you have such a long golf course, immediately shots are going to be played from further away. So your proximity to the hole, you know, when you talk about a 125-yard shot, you would say maybe the leader in that category on the PGA Tour is somewhere around 18 to 20 feet would probably be the leader. But when you back that thing up to where I would say today, maybe the average distance you have into a green, I would say probably is maybe around 180 to 185. Like that's a high number for the PGA Tour. And especially with the golf ball not going very far, now you're starting to get that prox number for the leader today is probably close to 30 to 33 feet would probably be the leader. When you talk about that for an entire 18 holes, how are you going to get to 5 under? Well, you got to make some putts and there's no giveaways. You can't, like the 15th hole, you're hitting like probably a 3 wood today, but the 10th you can maybe get par 71. I mean, that's where you start to see like, all right, I can see why the putting and maybe good iron play could be the reason why. And a guy like Luke Donald beating the system, just missing the right places.
Well, I'll tell you, looking at the current odds on DraftKings Sportsbook for the co-leaders, Ryan Gerard is at 30-1, Cam Davis at 35-1, which is considerably...
What's the second next best after Scotty?
Well, no, so those guys are much further down the board.
I'm curious.
Scotty's plus 330. Bryson DeChambeau is 9-1, plus 900.
What's he at today?
Then you have Tyrrell Hatton.
He got to 1 under, according to our statistician.
Our off-camp stats wizard, Jackson, over here. Tyrrell Hatton, who I believe finished at 3 under, 2 shots off the lead, is at 16-1 right now. John Rahm is at 18-1 right now. Colin Morikawa made double at 18 to finish at 1 under, 4 shots off the lead. He's at 20-1 right now, alongside Victor Hovland at 20-1. Of the group of guys, Smiley, that when we started this week, we said, look at all these favorites. It's going to come from this category. It's going to be a packed leaderboard. You know, let's take Scotty out of the equation because he's obviously the odds-on favorite at this point for a good reason, only being 3 shots off the lead. But who are some other names that are in and around it that you think could make a run at this thing because they're not too far off that 5-under lead right now?
Your guess is as good as mine, man.
That is hashtag analysis from Smiley Kaufman.
I mean,
I thought the Magic Mind, that Magic Mind's supposed to inspire some great analysis or picks, man.
I mean, Ryan Gerard's stats are dirty. I mean, gaining three.
Tario, by the way.
He gained 3 strokes approach to the green. That's a really strong statistic. The one that stuck out really is, I mean, Nico Echevarria gained 5.3 shots today into the greens. That's silly.
Good?
I mean, Bryson drove it really well today, allegedly off the tee. He's 4th in that category. Mm. So you got to like Bryson. I mean, Rasmus hits it far. Dude, it's a crapshoot.
It's wild.
I think Alex Noren's been hurt. He's another guy up there. JT Poston. Like, a lot of these guys up at the top of the leaderboard that I see are going to need some really continue to putt well.
How about Rye guys? T3 at 4 under.
Yeah, let me just go quickly through these like top 10 of like what to expect out of these guys.
Love that.
Gerard's a dog, stripes it. Hasn't had necessarily the breaks to go his way this year. Like, I think his best finish is Valero. He finished 2nd. But a lot of just like middle of the pack finishes. Cam Davis is a striper of the golf ball, hits it far enough, played a President's Cup here.
That's right. That team. Yeah, a little bit of experience here.
Was on that team. Good ballpark for him. Luke Donald, I mean, stars are going to have to align. They're going to have to align.
How about Luke being at 4 under, and I believe Keegan is at 3 under. There was another great stat on that that I got to pull. The last time the two sitting Ryder Cup captains were in and around the lead at a major championship was like 1937, maybe it was.
Yeah.
So that's a fun storyline, a little throwback.
I love that. Maybe throw those two out on Sunday and just let them duke it out for their own little trophy. All right, so Ryan Fox, Alan Smalley, Steven Yeager. Foxy coming off a win, so that's maybe just riding the momentum. But he also has played well this season. Alex Smalley stripes the absolute heck out of the golf ball. Last guy into the field after the withdrawal of Sahith Theegala. I was honestly surprised he wasn't in the field already. And then Steven Yeager, a guy that I wish we would have talked more about as a potential player to be on the European Ryder Cup team, but he smashes the ball off the tee, doesn't care where it goes, perfect place for that, and can get a hot putter and is not scared to play aggressively, and that's a good week for that. And then Rye guys,
we need to get some support.
Why do I like Aaron Rye this week? It's because he has the cheat code for the mud ball off the tee. He can skim it out there.
Mud ball cheat code. It. And then
skipping a rock.
And then you know, what do you think? There's a second driver he carry in his bag off the deck. Is that conducive to wiping mud off?
I mean, honestly, you can kind of compare this place a little bit to Vedanta. It's similar distances you're gonna have into the green. Now the playing surface is obviously different and much more challenging. I would say shots trouble lurking more here, but hey.
So let me tell you this to kind of just wrap today's, you know, recap episode, you know, knowing that it's still kind of wide open. We have some guys in and around it, but if you're, you know, in position, you know, you're a few shots off the lead and you're going back and you had a couple tough mud balls today.
Mud ball.
Is your game, like, how would you be changing your game plan if you were playing this major championship tomorrow to try to make sure you both make the cut and or in and around it to make a run on the weekend?
Yeah, I mean, there's top 70 in ties make the cut, which is what it used to be on the PGA Tour. That's if you just do the math, that means tomorrow the cut will be at 2 over. So I think just the stars that today didn't have a great day. I think we got to start with Rory McIlroy shooting 3 over par 74. He's going to need a bounce back day tomorrow in the afternoon. So that maybe it's an more of an advantage to play in the afternoon, which is
drier at that point, but cakey your mud though.
It could be more dried out. So who knows at this point?
Yeah.
But it's so hard to predict. You're going to have a day in which you get hot with the putter. I think that's going to continue to be the trend until the weekend comes around, where maybe these guys off of the tee with distance have a little bit more of an advantage. But as of right now, it's about, you know, if you hit in the rough, it could be just as much of an advantage as being in the fairway.
It'll be very interesting. That is our official show stance after day one of the PGA Championship. Who knows? It's anyone's guess. So
yeah,
it's been a lot of fun being here. We're excited to be here right next to the 18th Green at Quail Hollow for the next 2 days for these recap journals.
I guess one quick question for you.
Send us out
with
some last thoughts.
One quick question for you on this is, who would you say in the pack of players that you would say are in the elite status, guys we talk about a lot, who do you feel like is over par now that you think has or is best positioned to maybe have 54 holes in front of them? Not just tomorrow, but just 54 holes in front of them where you think they're not in a bad spot, they didn't shoot themselves out of it, that can, you know, potentially win this championship.
I mean, if we're just starting over par, I mean, the first two names that pop to me are Xander at 1 over, who obviously was frustrated with the way the course played today and the mud balls he got, but is right there in position. You also have Wyndham Clark at 1 over, who has won here before.
It's such a fine line because these guys are got to make sure they make the cut tomorrow too. You know, that's right. They got to get off to a good start.
Yeah, I mean, I really think it's an easy layup answer. It's a guy who's with the closest to the top of the board in terms of odds, but Xander at 1 over really feels
Xander's driving distance. He was 7th today with 321 off the tee. And his procs was really good. Hit 13 greens. Like, dude, hitting 13 greens around this place, that ain't normally a one over par score for Xander.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting.
I like that. I like Xander the rest of the way.
I think Xander is a guy that ends up like,
what's his odds, you said?
Currently or prior to the tournament? Yeah. Like currently,
just like his current odds.
Let me pull that.
I would be right interested now. In that.
Xander Schauffele, 45-1 right now.
Okay. See, that's what we're here for.
Might be worth a little sprinkle. And actually, that's perfect because I almost forgot to do the thing that I was supposed to do to close this episode. So thank you for giving us a little DraftKings Sportsbook hot tip. Xander,
magic mind.
45-1.
Magic
mind. The magic mind will kick in any moment now. If you want to sprinkle on our guy Xander at 45-1, you can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use the code SMILEYSHOW. That's code SMYLIESHOW to get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours. Here comes the disclaimer. Gambling problem. Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY, which is 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. New customers only. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/audio.
That was much better than my read yesterday.
I had a little trouble there, though. The Boot Hill Casino in Kansas, every time I read that, I have more questions about.
We need to go there.
I think we need to go there. I think we need to do a live show from the Boot Hill Casino in Kansas. I'd love to check it out. That's what we got for today's journal. We appreciate you hanging out with us, watching and listening, as always. And we'll be right back here tomorrow, recapping Friday at Quail Hollow. See you then.
You know, I listen to this podcast. It's really cool. And
all of our first lovely time. Fans and subscribers, but make sure you like and subscribe.
It's cool to see what you guys are doing. I know golf fans appreciate it, but we do too. So please keep it up.
For all the good people on YouTube, like and subscribe.
You guys have some good takes, so I'm happy to come on and shoot the...
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreestyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreestyleLibre.us.